Romans chapter number 1 and verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. That without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now let's go to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. And let's look at verse number 15, Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Making mention of you in my prayers. 1 Thessalonians, let's go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. First Thessalonians chapter number 1, and note if you will, verse number 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And in the same book, go to chapter 3, in the same book, and look at verse number 8 if you will. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And notice verse number 11. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, if you will, go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And notice verse number 3, 2 Timothy 1, 3. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Let's go over to Philemon. Philemon. And verse number 4 in Philemon. Philemon and verse number 4. We'll read this verse and then we'll pray. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for just allowing us to go through some verses, Lord, with a common thread. Lord, and Lord, you chose to use the same man to pen each of the words that we just read, Lord, as you dictated those words to him, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. Now, we want to learn some things tonight. And, Lord, I thank you that the Bible is inspired, that these are the words of God. Lord, I thank you as we read what the Apostle Paul wrote in this matter of prayer. I hope we can take some prayer lessons tonight from the Apostle Paul, to learn some things about praying from a man who, according to your inspired scriptures, knew what it was to pray. And so I would ask, Lord, that you would help us to gain some insight, make us better, help us to be, Lord, more faithful in our prayers, to pray more in your will and according, Lord, to your instruction. Thank you again for hearing our prayers, Lord, even sometimes when we maybe don't say things right or know even what to say. Thank you, Lord, for being there for us. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us in this matter of prayer. Continue to help us to grow as we take this prayer journey together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. If I counted right, this will be the 80th time tonight, 80, the 80th time in 2008 that I've walked to this pulpit and either taught or preached a message. Also, let me say this, of those 80 times, 29 times I walked to this pulpit this year, I've taught or preached on the subject of prayer, on the subject of prayer. Let me say this, church, we're going to answer for all those sermons and all those lessons if we are not farther along by now in this matter of prayer, I'm talking about corporately, I'm talking about individually, shame on us. If you were prayerless and had a prayerless existence in January 1st of 2008, and you still do, you have a lot more to answer for. I think it's time that we just decided that we're going to start praying. That we're going to just make this a part of our lives. I could walk up here 29 more times and then 29 more times after that, 29 more times after that, and barely scrape the surface of what God has to say in His Word about prayer. And so I say that because sometimes, folks, if we're not careful, we see a theme presented at the beginning of the year. We hear a handful of messages on the subject. We may make a few slight adjustments. But boy, it would be a shame if this church at the end of this year wasn't transformed in this area of prayerfulness. Wasn't transformed. And so that's certainly my prayer. And I'm going to teach again tonight on prayer. I'm going to teach on this subject, the Apostle Paul and prayer. The Apostle Paul and prayer. The Apostle Paul, of course, everything that he wrote, we know, is inspired. So they are the words of God. But I'm going to stay within the boundaries of what Paul was used to write. And we want to learn some things, some basic Bible principles concerning prayer. Now let me give you the very first one, and it's founded on what we've already read. And that is this. Number one, Paul knew God's people needed his prayers. Paul knew God's people needed his prayers. He wrote in the book of Romans to those that were scattered abroad, the scattered persecuted Christians, that he prayed for them and prayed night and day, always without ceasing. Now that's one group of people that he's praying for. And then we see that he writes the church of Ephesus and he says, basically the same thing to them. I pray for you. I pray for you regularly. I pray for you always. I pray for you nighttime. I pray for you daytime. And then we see that he then addresses a group of people that are in the town of Thessalonica. And he tells them, I pray for you. I pray for you always. I pray for you continuously. And then we see him write a young preacher boy by the name of Timothy, and guess what he tells him? I pray for you. I pray for you. And then he writes a friend and an acquaintance in the ministry by the name of Philemon, and you know what he says? I pray for you. Let me just say this. If Paul is praying for all of these people, and he's doing it always and continually, night and day, I can summarize that this man was a, can I use this phrase that we probably abuse some? If you want to put the label of prayer warrior on somebody, the Apostle Paul was a prayer warrior. A prayer warrior. You know what? That's a noble title. That's something I believe every one of us could aspire to and be for our local assembly and for our family and for the Christians and missionaries and people that we know and God burdens our heart about. You know, not everybody can be a pastor, but anybody could be a prayer warrior. You may never carry the gospel to a foreign field, but you could be a prayer warrior for those that do. You may never conduct a citywide campaign or have a tent revival where hundreds are saved, but you could be a prayer warrior. You could be a prayer warrior. And so Paul certainly was that. Now, Paul, let me stay on track here for point one. Paul knew God's people needed his prayers, his prayer. Paul felt a great responsibility to pray for the people of God. He knew that. When he went to a town and started a church and left that church, he may have left that church physically, but his heart never left that place, and his prayers chased those people for the rest of Paul's existence, the rest of Paul's life. He called out the names of those people. Paul knew God's people needed his prayers. I pray that every preacher in America would understand that. Every pastor ought to understand how much the people in his congregation need his prayers. Folks, I know that you need me praying for you. I don't want to be delinquent in that responsibility. Sorry if I don't always answer the phone. Sorry if I'm not always available. Sorry if I don't always, sometimes I have to sequester myself away. But can I say this, folks? Prayer takes time, and prayer is a labor of love, and prayer is time intensive if you're going to do it right. Your children need a preacher that's praying for them. These teenagers need a preacher that's praying for them. Let me say this. Paul, I too understand that God's people needs my prayers. Let me just encourage each and every one of you. Sunday school teachers, do you really understand how much your students need your prayers? You really understand how much they need your prayers. Yeah, they need your visits. They need those love notes and those letters that you send them. They need a prepared teacher to stand before them with knowledge about what the lesson is about. They need you to spend personal time with them sometime, just after class or before. But you know what they need more than probably all of those things? You praying for them. Most of your, or at least a lot of your students, don't have a mama that prays for them. Are you listening to me? They don't have a mama that prays for them. I'm talking about a lot of our bus kids. I'm talking about our kids that come in here that don't come from Christian homes. They don't have a daddy that stands before the throne of grace and prays for them. If you're not praying for them, who's praying for them? Sunday school teachers, you cannot be delinquent in this matter of prayer. You need to pray for your students. Bus captains, you need to pray for those riders on your bus route. You need to pray for them. Now, yeah, you need to visit them. Sure you do. Yes, you need to talk to them, and you need to spend some extra time from time to time. And yes, you need to answer their questions. And yes, you need to have a good spirit. And yes, you need to have an exciting bus program. But you know what they need probably more than all those things? They need your prayer. Because you see, your prayers can be there when you're not there. And your prayers can follow them when you can't follow them. And your prayers can cover them, as Mrs. Ethley wrote in that song, like a blanket of protection around them. And oftentimes, save them from some satanic attack. Why? Because there was a man found that stood in the hedge and made up the gap for that young person. There was somebody praying. There was somebody throwing that umbrella of protective prayer around them. Sister, now I'm going brain dead. Teresa, come to me. And she wanted to say something. I'm going to let her do it right now about Heather. And then I'm going to say something. Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, she is. Good. Amen. That's good. She said, I want to give the folks an update, and I forgot to ask her, so I just did that. Now, parents, and I'm just so glad to see Teresa back here. I thought for sure that she was going to enroll in Shawnee Baptist College. I know. Were you shocked to see her come back, Brother John? I mean, you... We've got college students. We've got college students scattered around the country. We've got them in California, and we've got them in foreign countries, Kentucky, and we've got them in strange, mysterious lands where they don't even speak the same language as us. And I've been there. And some of you parents have been there. But let me tell you something. Your kids probably need more than anything in the world. You pray for them. And by the way, church, our college students need us praying for them. He's praying for them. Now, Paul got it. Paul, you preach a lot. Yeah, I know, and that means I need to study a lot, but I still pray a lot. Paul, you soul win a lot. Yes, I soul win a lot, and it needs to be done, but I'm going to tell you something. I pray a lot, too. Paul, you travel a lot. Yeah, but I found out something that, you know what, God can hear you while you're traveling. So I just pray all the time. I'm going from one city to the other, and I just talk to the Lord about what just happened, what I want to see happen. And you know what, maybe that's why he saw a lot of things happen. Because he was a prayer warrior. He was a prayer warrior. Ladies, we need you to be prayer warriors. Senior saints, we need you to be prayer warriors. Young couples, we need you to be prayer warriors. You know what? Teenagers can learn to be a prayer warrior. Children sometimes are the greatest prayer warriors in a church. And you can be that for your preacher, your Sunday school teacher, your parents, your fellow church members and classmates and playmates. You can stand in the gap for them. Boy, that's exciting. This crosses all boundaries. There's no limitation. There's not one verse in the Scripture that restricts any Christian from going as far as you want to go in this matter of prayer and being all that you can be in this matter of prayer. Paul knew that God's people needed his prayers. Now let me give you number two. Not only did Paul know that God's people needed his prayers, but Paul was wise enough to know that he needed the prayers of God's people. Paul knew he needed the prayers of God's people. Now I'm going to take you to just look at a few other verses. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. We'll have you moving through the Scriptures some tonight. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 30. Paul knew God's people needed his prayers, but Paul also knew that he needed the prayers of God's people. In Romans chapter 15 and verse number 30, Romans 15:30, we read this. Now I beseech you, by the way, that word beseech is a strong word. It means to plead earnestly or to beg of them. I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Amen. One thing we're going to find out about Paul is he wasn't shy about saying, pray for me. Please pray for me. I even like this. Paul prayed for himself. Did you get that in that Scripture? I like that. He said that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Someone once asked me, is there anything wrong with praying for yourself? Well, I hope not. Matter of fact, of all the people I know, I think I know that I need prayer more than any of you. Probably because I know me better than the rest of you. But yes, God help me. That ought to be a prayer that falls off our list 100 times a day. God help me. God guide me. God direct me. God give me wisdom. Lord, I need your mind right now. I promise you in my office today. Had to make a lot of decisions today in my office. And I looked at a lot of things in my office. And some of them towards the future of the church. And I just stopped and said, God, I got to have your mind here. God, I'm not sure what to do here. I'm not sure what the decision ought to be here. Please help me. And there's nothing wrong with praying. But let me say this. I shouldn't be the only one praying for Pastor Jerry Ross at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And you know what? I have full assurance that that's not the case. I thank God. I mean, for all of the people that come by that back door and just sometimes grab my hand and say, I'm praying for you. And Brother Joe Asbury called me just out of the blue the other day and just said, Preacher, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I just want you to know that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Church, please, I need your prayers. I need your prayers more than anything in the world. Brother Jerry, what can we get you? Your birthday's on the 30th. Yes, you can just decide you're going to pray for me on the 30th and then the next day and then the next day and just don't ever stop. There's no better gift you could give me. I mean that with all my heart. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. But I know that I do need God's people praying for me. I know that. Romans 15, verse 30. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 4. We're going to see this repeated. Paul lets everybody know, hey, I pray for you. And then, by the way, would you pray for me? He throws that in a lot. Chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. See, Paul knew his weaknesses. Paul knew his frailty. You know what? We think of Paul as this bold Christian man. Every time he had an opportunity, he preached. And every time he had an opportunity to witness, he witnessed. But you know what? Paul knew him. And if you'll track this thing down, you know what he asked God's people to pray for him about more than anything else? Pray that I'd be bold. Pray that when when the door opens, I walk through it. Pray that when an opportunity comes for me to preach, I preach. And when it comes up to me to say something for Jesus, I say it. You say, Brother Jerry, where did Paul get the boldness? I mean, read the book of Acts and he's standing up in front of kings and potentates and governors and he's And he's speaking out for Christ to the point where I think, man, how did he do that? I'll tell you how he did it. He had scattered all over his missionary trails, widow ladies and married couples and senior saints and children saying, bless Brother Paul. God, bless Brother Paul. Help him as he's planting churches. Help him as he's preaching. He asks us to pray that he'd be bold, Lord. Help him to know when to speak and when not to speak. And when it's time to speak, help him to just do it with boldness and courage. And man, I'm going to tell you something. You get a couple hundred people praying that for you. When the time comes, you're probably going to open your mouth and say what you ought to say. Paul knew he needed the prayers of God's people. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 25. Boy, wise is the person who learns that people need to be prayed for and also at the same time knows that people need to be praying for them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25. Very simple verse. Here it is. Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. All right, number one, what did Paul teach us about prayer? What do we see about prayer in Paul's life? Paul knew God's people needed his prayers. Number two, Paul knew he needed the prayers of God's people. Now, number three, let me have you go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Number three, what we see and what we learn about Paul in prayer is this. Paul believed in making prayer a priority. A priority. Let me just say a brief word about this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, notice verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that... And by the way, in my Bible, I have the next three words underlined. First of all. I exhort, therefore, that... First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You know what he was saying? He was saying to a young preacher, now listen, I left you in charge of a church, and you're to feed the flock of God. But let me tell you something, what you need to get across to them is this, that number one priority is prayer. Number one priority is prayer. Well, I thought number one priority was soul winning. You could try soul winning without praying. I thought number one was preaching. You try preaching without prayer support. I thought it was the teaching of the Bible. You try teaching the Bible without prayer support. I thought it was the home. You try to hold a marriage together without prayer. You try to raise children without prayer. I mean, folks, listen to me. The honest truth is, the first of all needs to be what is listed here. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. This is exciting. I would like the first of all ministry at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be, not just for this year, but for all time, our prayer ministry. Somebody now stops me and says, hey, tell me a little bit about your church. What's the most exciting thing going on in your church? You know what I say? I say right now, let me tell you, the most exciting thing going on at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is the prayer ministry. Because I think everything else is vanity without prayer. I mean, we've got to pray. We've got to pray. And so Paul recognized this. Now, this is what I want to challenge you to work on, and maybe you're there. And if you are, praise the Lord, stay there. But I think all of us, and probably with the Holy Spirit's help, if we allow the Holy Spirit to help us, and search me, O Lord, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, I think we can, with the Holy Spirit's help, be the best judge of where we're at sometimes. And so, if you were to list your five spiritual strengths, would prayer even be on that list? And if it is, if it's four, let me challenge you to make it three. And if it's three, I want to challenge you to make it number two. And if it's number two, I want to challenge you to make it number one. That's how big it is. That's how big it is. You know what prayer does?
prayer doesn't. Brother John, I'm a little. I don't know about that. Why are you making? Listen, I'm doing it because the Bible says first of all. This isn't my idea. This is God's idea. What I'm saying is this. This is the energy pack. This is the battery pack that runs all the tools, gentlemen. You can go out and you can spend $300 or $400 on a big case of battery-operated tools, but when you get home and open it up, if there's no batteries in there, all they're good for is a not very effective hammer. I mean, you can beat something with it, but you can't do what that thing's supposed to do. And you know what the battery pack for the church is? It's prayer. Prayer empowers. Listen, I guarantee you, a congregation praying can take a weak pastor's mediocre message and turn it into a miracle. Amen. You get a bunch of people praying, and you get a bunch of weak people that are doing the best they can and walk in and don't feel like that they're capable, but they scatter across this property at 9:30 on Sunday, during our Sunday school hour, and they walk into a room sometimes trembling. And you know what? If people are praying, miracles can happen in that room. Not because that teacher's anything, but because people are praying and giving that teacher the prayer support they need to teach the Word of God with power and strength and to get the Holy Spirit activated in the process of the teaching and the learning. Well, that's exciting. When spiritual things happen when people pray. Spiritual things happen. I decided not to teach this tonight, but one of these days I'm going to go on into this and teach you what Paul prayed specific. We learned that he prayed for the people and he knew it was a priority, but it's interesting to see what he prayed about, what he asked God for. You know what? Paul was 100 million times more concerned with people's spiritual development than he was praying whether they got a new car, praying whether they got a fancy home, or praying whether they got the promotion at work. I mean, you don't find those prayers. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for those things. I'm just saying they weren't a priority in Paul's mind. And what we need is spiritual prayers about spiritual things. Spiritual prayer support about the spiritual activity of the Church of Jesus Christ. And so Paul believed in making prayer a priority. Now, let me give you something else. Are we in 1 Timothy there? Chapter 2, verse number 8. Let's look on down the chapter. Number 4, Paul believed that men should provide leadership in the area of prayer. Paul believed that men should provide leadership in the area of prayer. Verse number 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Notice what the next verse says, and likewise also the women. So there is something he's going to challenge the men to do, and then there's some things he's going to challenge the women to do. And you know what he addressed to the men? This is what he said. Gentlemen, I need you to pray. I need you to pray everywhere. I need you to pray lifting up holy hands. I need you to pray without wrath and doubting. So he isn't just talking about prayer. He's talking about the type of a life that causes you to pray correctly. Men, but the point being here is that men are addressed to pray. And Paul believed that men should provide leadership in the area of prayer. Now, let me just say this, gentlemen. You may, if you were honest, and some of us would be, if you said, you know what, my wife's a better prayer warrior than me. You know what? Okay. But you still got quite a few months to the end of this year. You can start out praying her if you want to. Amen. I mean, you could run laps around her if you want to. Brother Jerry, what do you need from me? I'm a man here at Blessville Baptist Church. I put my membership. What do I need you praying. I need you praying lifting up holy hands. I need you praying without wrath and without doubting. I need you to pray everywhere. That's what I need. I need men praying. I need men praying. Now, Paul recognized this. Think about this. Paul was a church planter. I'd say he had a pretty good track record. And I'd love to spend my life
going to as many towns as he did and leaving as many effective churches as he left in his way, that's something else. And Brother Derek, if in the last next 40, 50 years, if you could duplicate what Paul did, man alive, in Montana, there could be a revival, you know. But we say that, well, then let's learn something from him. Listen to me, listen to me. My dad said this way back when he started Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And he shared it from the pulpit, and he shared it with me personally. He said, when I started this church in the direction of God, he said, one of the things God burdened my heart about and impressed in my heart was the need to pray that God would give me men. Men. You know, if you get the Philippian jailer, you're going to get his household. You know what we need at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? We need men. We still need men. I'll take you across the country. The strongest churches in America have strong, praying men. Ladies, I'm not diminishing your importance. I'm just teaching the Bible. You know where we need the leadership to come from? Men. You know where the prayer leadership needs to come from? Men. You know where the prayer example needs to come from in the home? Men! Men! Listen, don't sit in the back seat on this prayer thing. Get up there and drive. Get up there and drive. Don't sit in the back seat. Get up there and drive. You know what? It'd be good. And you know what? Say, oh, Brother Jerry, I've never done anything like this. Well, you know, that's what's fun about the Christian life. You get to try new stuff. So just, you know, scare your family. Scare them. They need scared every once in a while anyway. Any good dad needs to understand. You just need to come in and scare the whole family once in a while. And this is how you do it. You walk in there and say to one of the kids, you go get everybody. We have a meeting in the living room. Tell everybody to get there. 2 or 3 minutes. Go. When they all come in there, they're thinking, what did we do? Or what did he find out about that we done, you know? And say, hey, you know what? Brother Jerry shared with us about Brother Ron Allen. And you know what? I know everybody's busy and we all got stuff going, but I just wanted to pull the family together and pray. Let's just pray. Hey, man, isn't that good? Nothing in the world wrong with that. There oughtn't to be anything strange about that. Brother, I don't care if it's your personality or not. Get a different personality. Get a godly personality. You know, stop using that as an excuse. Hogwash. Just do it. Just try it. You don't have to do it exactly that way, but you know what? Don't be afraid to step up in this matter of prayer. Pray. 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 I like men. I like men that lead their family. I like men that are spiritual. I like men that step up. You know what I really do like? I like it to see wives get in line and follow. Ladies, as much as you've been brainwashed into thinking that that's a weakness, it's not a weakness. It's a strength. It takes more genuine spirituality for a woman to submit to her husband and follow than it does to run over him. It takes more genuine spirituality. Encourage your husband. If he's wanting to do right, then get behind him and help him do right. I mean, encourage him. Encourage him. Don't spend all your time telling him what he's not. Spend a bunch of time thanking God for what he is. And you know what? If you do that in the long run, he'll become a lot more than you could have maybe imagined. Paul believed that men should provide leadership in the area of prayer. And men, I pray for you. I do. And I thank you for praying for me. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and we'll wind this up. Of course, there's a lot of other things that Brother Paul taught us about prayers, but this is praying, but this is what God wanted me to share with you tonight. Now, let me put this in context. Ephesians chapter 6, we begin reading verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, in that context, we're going to read down and find a verse on prayer. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And of course, piece by piece, that armor is taught and explained. But notice when you get down to verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul believed that prayer was an important part of the spiritual battle. Paul believed that prayer was an important part of the spiritual battle. And he said, listen, we're in a wrestling match. We're in a war. And that war is not against each other. It's not against people. It's against Satan and his demonic forces. It's against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. All of the pieces of armor are spiritual pieces of armor. But all of those pieces of armor, once they're put on this Christian soldier, we find that Paul's not done. He said, after you've put on the helmet of salvation and girt your loins about with truth and a breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and after you get all of those things put on, don't forget to pray. Don't forget to pray. Paul believed that prayer was an important part of the spiritual battle. Now, let me again tell you what we've already taught this year, and I think we've done a pretty effective job of doing it. We spent a lot of time preaching on prayer, and we spent a little period of time talking about the spiritual world, spiritual warfare, the invisible creation. Folks, I believe this with all my heart. There's many a battle for a home. There's many a battle for a marriage. There's many a battle for a young person. There's many a battle for a church that has been won by people on their knees praying. And why is it important that I take the time? Because you may tip the scales in the battle. I read over in Philippians where Paul bragged about Epaphroditus. And he said to the church of Philippi, and he was from that church, he said he's laboring always fervently in prayer for you. And I got to thinking, here Epaphroditus wasn't even there, and yet Paul came upon him often and found him laboring fervently in prayer for the people at Philippi. You know why? Because even though he wasn't there, he could fight the battle with them and for them through his prayers. Epaphroditus says, you know what, I'm a long way away, but I know Satan's not going to quit and give up. And he's after some of our families. He's after some of our young people. He's trying to discourage the preacher back home. And you know what, I may be here on an errand to help Paul, but my heart's back there, and I'm going to stand in the gap for my church and my preacher and my teenagers and the other families in my church. And Paul said, you know what he said? He said, well, I wish you could all be standing here when I come over to the door of his room thinking he's asleep, but find out that he's not asleep. I wish you could hear what I hear. I wish you could hear the fervency of his prayer. I wish you could hear him labor in prayer. I wish you could hear every one of your names called out before God. That man stood in the gap. You know what? By the way, let me just share this with you. You may have a different opinion, but I sure like the book of Philippians. And I think that the church of Philippi, of all of the churches that Paul addresses, it may have been the church that was the most successful church of any of the churches that was functioning according to the things that Paul addressed and didn't have to address. That's just my opinion. I wonder when we get to heaven, we're going to find out that one of the reasons that was so, because there was some men like Epaphroditus that said, you know what, while others sleep, I'm going to pray. While others go out to eat and have a good time, I'm going to pray. While others gossip, I'm going to pray. While others do whatever, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to stand before God in defense of my brethren and my home church and my pastor. And you know what? I think what you see in the book of Philippi is a result of some men like Epaphroditus in that church that stood in the gap and made up the hedge. Now, that's what Paul, the Apostle Paul, just some of the things that he taught us about prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time we've been allowed to just peek over the shoulder of one of your most faithful servants, a very effective servant, and Lord, discover a little bit about his secret prayer life and the things that he believed and taught concerning prayer. Lord, I pray that this will just be a boost to us. It's not that, Lord, any of us ought to try to be an Apostle Paul. We just need to be the best we can be for who we are. But Lord, we can be a prayer warrior like Paul, and we have a God that hears our prayers just like you heard Paul's prayers. And Lord, Paul's not here to pray anymore. So who's going to be the next Paul? Who's going to be the next Epaphroditus? Who's going to be the next prayer warrior that says, you know what, maybe I don't have a whole lot of talents and maybe I don't have a whole lot of gifts, but I can be that one lone kneeling figure that empowers and helps to strengthen the preacher, to help protect the church, to help fight for a marriage and fight for a family and help fight for a young person. I could be that one that just decides that that bus kid is going to make it, and I'm going to pray that until he does. I'm going to pray until she does. Lord, I pray that you stir us in this matter of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray.